Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Nedarim Samach Beis. We are holding right on top of the Amud Tana we have learned in April. Back to the figs. Hu pulu roiv hamaktsoyos. Maktsoyos are these knives, these pocket knives, if you will, used to clip off the stems from those figs which are slated for drying and pressing, etc. So putting away of those knives denotes end of season. Huk pelu roiv ha-maktsois. If most people have already stored away their tools, which indicates end of fig harvesting season, so whatever is left in the field is abandoned, it's hefker, mutorois mishum gezel. One is allowed to approach those figs and take them. The Ran says, shemis yashin hein, it's hefker. So once most people have done their fig harvest, even if some people are still involved, but the assumption is that whatever is left out here is hefker unless the owner would state otherwise, but presumably whatever is left out here is hefker. Mutoris mishum gezel, pturois min amasrois, and there is no chiv to separate Truma and Maser from Hefker. Why? Perhaps, let's take a look at the Ran again. So let's start from the top. Mutoris Mishum Gezel. So if most of the farmers have completed their figging harvest, we assume whatever is left out there is Hefker. Shemes Yashim, Hein Mashin Shabasada. Whatever is left out there is abandoned. Acha Shekiplu V'chnisu Reve Maktsois. Once most of the tools are taken in, it denotes end of season. You're free to take whatever's left out here. Upturois min ha-maser. Why is it, indeed, that hefker is exempt from maser? So Ran will bring a pasuk which is based on a Yerushalmi in the beginning of Maseches Maaseres. Tichsiv u'bohalevi ki ein loy chelek v'nach li'imach. Hashem tells us, allow the Levi. Here Levi means the Kohen and the Levi. To take their portion, their truma, their maaser. You know why? He has no portion in Eretz Yisrael. Otherwise, everybody got a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't have his chelik. What is his portion? Your portion. You're obligated to give him a chelik of your crop. That is his nachla from Hashem. So that applies typically when it's something that belongs to you. You're a farmer. You have a crop. You separate a portion, give it to the Kohen or Levi. That's his. Yotze Hefker, as opposed to something which is Hefker, which isn't uniquely yours. Everybody can take it. So there, he has no priority. There's no chiyuv to give him Truma and Maser. Yotze Hefker, sheyesh lechelek v'nach limach. Kohen and Levi has equal access to Hefker like anybody else. And therefore, he has no priority. And he does not get Truma and Maser from Hefker. That's the reason why Hefker is Pater from Maser. Here as well, these figs are abandoned. Hefker, no issue of Gezel, no Truma or Maser as well. Continues the Gemara on the second line from the top. This is a story involving Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Iklu, they encountered, they visited this farm, this field. Iklu lahu Asher, they came to this place. It was already, you know, post-season. And they noticed some figs lying around. Rebbe Habakachel, Rebbe partook in those figs. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda Loi Achli refused to eat those fig remnants. What happened? Suddenly the owner shows up. Asa Marehain, the owner of those figs. The farmer shows up. Omar Lahu, he asks them, why are you sitting idle? Don't you know it's end of season? It's free to take. Amayli Achli Rabbanan, why aren't you eating? Apparently Rebbe had finished his meal. So he was sitting there and he's wondering why they're not taking figs. Huk pulu roiv hamaktsoyisu, it's already post-season. The tools, the knives are put away, it's done, it's hefker. Va'afal pikein. despite the fact that the owner consented, or apparently consented, to them taking, he didn't want to take. He continued his adamant refusal to partake in the other person's figs. Why? Because he figured, although owner seemed to go along with it, he was concerned that he was just saying it in spite. Mishum sanyus milsa, hudaka amar. It was just a fellow who was expressing his meanness of heart. He was just being cynical and he didn't really mean it. Mishum sanyus milsa, hudaka amar, hadin gafer. This fellow was just, expressing his sarcasm. Why don't you go take my figs? He didn't really mean it. Now, although the halacha dictates that Rebbe was right, and perhaps that's why Rebbe was doing it, to show everybody that it's mutter, but Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda was being noyeg midas chasidus lefnim shir sadin. Perhaps this fellow was not really miyayish, perhaps he can't rely on the roiv farmers who put away their... So he was being machmir midas chasidus and refused to eat the dates, the figs. There's another story with Rabbi Chama bar Bechanina. Ikla lo Asher came to this place, Bezman Shehuk Pelu Rav Mokzoyitz, it was post-season. Havakachal, he was eating those figs, which are Hefka. And then Yoiv L'Shami, he offered it to his attendant, who refused to eat lo Yachal. Amar Lei, so the Rebbe told us, Talmud, why are you being more firm than me? Kach Amar Li Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yesi. I have a quote from Rabbi Shmuel, in the name of his father, Mishum Aviv, his father Rabbi Yisi, who said that it's mutter. Hukpul Reva Maktsoyis, mutaris Mishum Gezel, upturis Mina Masters. In fact, post season figs are totally mutter. It's not stealing, it's Hefker. Here comes another story. Reb Tarfin, Hilger Tana Rabbi Tarfin, Ashkreyau Gavra. So Reb Tarfin was picking some figs, Hefker figs, post season figs. The owner of the orchard shows up. Ashkei Ogavra, the owner, finds him picking his figs. Bizman Shehuk Pelur HaMaktsoyis. After the tools were stored away, post-season, the Ka'achal, he notices Rav Tarfon eating his figs. That enraged him, got very mad. He took Rav Tarfon, Achsei B'saka, he tucked him into a sack, B'shakli, and he lifted him, B'amtayi, and he's carrying him to the river, to throw him to the river. You're a thief. Halacha is that a thief who's tunneling into breaking into a property to steal, you're allowed to kill him in self-defense, knowing that this thief, might actually resort to killing the owner if he resists to giving him his possession. So there's halacha bava machteres. This guy figured, okay, Rabbi Tarfon is the Ganav, we're going to kill him. Amar, so as he's carrying Rabbi Tarfon in the sack, he overhears Rabbi Tarfon saying, Oilu le Tarfon, woe, woe to Tarfon, referring to himself. Tarfon is a lashon of Taraif, getting killed. Wow, woe to my mazel and my name, which indicates I'm in trouble. Shazeh Hergud, this fellow is killing me. Some of Farshim say he was concerned that this fellow is going to get punished for killing him, which isn't really good for Tafin himself to be the catalyst for somebody else's punishment, as the Gemara in Shabbos tells us. In any case, this fellow overhears a voice, Reb Tarfin's voice, who apparently he recognized. He didn't recognize him by face. Perhaps it was dark or whatever. They didn't have pictures in those days, but his voice he understood. He identified Reb Tarfin in the sack, Shema Hu Gavr, Shavke, so he quickly dropped him, Barak, and he took off and he ran away. Now Tarfon was saved. Amar Rabbi Avo, listen to this. Amar Rabbi Avo, Mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. You would think Rabbi Tarfon felt justified in the fact that he identified himself as Rabbi Tarfon, which encouraged his fellow to abandon him. He felt very guilty. In fact, Kol Yom of Shalit Tzadik throughout the entire rest of his life, Hayimitzdar al Davarze, a tzaddik Reb Tarfon was distressed about this fact, that he used Torah to protect himself. Omar, he said, Oily, woe to me, Shinishtamashti, because of Torah, I used the crown of Torah to fend off my attacker. to protect myself from a claim which this fellow considered a justified claim. And I used Torah to protect myself. Woe to me. I misused the Torah. V'amar Rabba v'rachana Rabbi Yechanan kol mishtamash b'kisur shatayr, a person who misuses Torah, nekam an oilam, he gets uprooted from the world. Kavachomer. We learn this by way of Kavachomer. Ma Baal Shetzar. Baal Shetzar, the king, who decided to make use of the kelim that they got from the Beis HaMikdash. Look what happened to him. He got killed that very night. Shenishtamish b'klei kodesh, he used the vessels of Beis HaMikdash, shenas b'klei chol, which already really have turned into mundane kelim. How? Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Boba pritzim chidulu." When the pritzim, the attackers, the goyim came, and they attacked and they conquered the Beis HaMikdash. These unkochly people, pritzim, they came and they were machala. They actually nullified the kedusha of the kelim. So despite the fact that it's already choyl, the Torah says so, right? They have the koyach to make it choyl, because, you know, it was conquered by the goyim, it went into Golas. So halachically, the Klei HaMikdash were considered non-Kodesh entity. They have a din of mundane, but still, look what happened to him when he misused them. Kivash Apartsim, Nasu Choyl, right? We learned that once the goyim came and were pirates, the Mikdash, the kelim turned into choyl. Still, when Baal Shetzar went ahead and accessed these kelim for his own personal purposes, to pride himself with these kelim, he misused the kelim. He perverted the kelim. Nekam and look what happened to him. He died on the spot. That very night, Katal Baal Shetzar, he got killed. That's Klei Mikdash, which were technically already mundane. Certainly in my case, when a person misuses the crown of Torah for his own purposes, which is eternal, unaffected by any fluctuations of history and event, certainly it's a terrible thing to misuse the Kesser Shel Torah, which Chas V'Shalom can bring to grave consequences. So he felt very bad that he took advantage of his position, of his title, of his Torah, to protect himself. Now you would think, well, it's Pekuach Nefesh, he was fully justified, and we'll discuss that soon. He had another alternative. He could have used another option, rather than tap into the Koyach HaTorah to protect himself. Asks the Gemara, firstly, let's try to understand what happened. Why was this fellow so mad? It was post-season, it's Hefker. Everybody knows it's Hefker. Even the owner should have known that. Rebbe Tarfon, given the key achel, when he had those figs, the hook pulu roiva maktoya sava, was ready post season. Amay tsari o gaver, why did this fellow get on his case? Answers like this. He had a long history. He was suffering from break ins the entire year already. He set up his cameras and he figured, okay, now I got him. It wasn't for now, it was for the whole year. Mishum dahu, because this fellow, dahu, havu ganvili. He was victimized by thieves. Havogarvili Anvi, who would steal his grapes, kula shata, throughout the entire year. So he was finally waiting in ambush. The Kivan, the Ashkel, Rabbi Tarfon. Once he noticed Rabbi Tarfon coming in, he said, oh, I got him. This is the big robber, Rabbi Tarfon, can you imagine? Sofer Hainu de Ganvi. He figured, okay, now I got him. Throw him into the river. Ask Samar, well, if it was just a local issue, you know, today's figs, okay, I understand why Rabbi Tarfon felt bad. He could have just, you know, pulled out a $5 bill and taken care of it on the spot. But Ihachi, this fellow has a long-standing claim against Rabbi Tarfon, thinking he's the, you know, the long-term thief. I might see her nafshi. So then, you know, it's impractical for Rabbi Tarfon to go bail himself out, you know, pay this huge ransom for the entire year's supply. It wasn't really practical. What do you expect from Rabbi Tarfon? What else should he have done? Of course he needed to resort to identifying himself so the fellow lets him go. Am I tear enough? So why was Rabbi Tarfon distressed over the fact that he used his identity to protect himself? Answer is, Rabbi Tarfon could have well afforded to pay the fellow off, even a large amount. And he should have done that better than fend off a claim which this fellow considered a legitimate claim using the Koyach HaTorah. He shouldn't have done that. Vishum the Rabtafin, Osher Godel Hava. Rabtafin was very wealthy. Vahavel Lefaisi Bedam. He should have appeased them with dumb and with money. On the topic of Keser Torah and our proper attitude when we learn Torah, Tanya, we have a brisa based on the pasuk La'avos Hashem Alekecha. You're meant to love Hashem. L'shmoya b'koyli uludav kaboy. We learn from here that our learning should be motivated by Avas Hashem, by our desire to connect to Hashem. Shlo yeimar adam, a person should never say to himself, Ekra, I'm going to learn. Sheikruni chacham, so that I be labeled a smart man, a chacham. Or Eshna, I'll learn a bit deeper, analyze, learn Mishnais. Sheikruni Rebbe, so I be regarded as a Rebbe. That's not proper kavana. Or Eshanin, I'll go even deeper. I'll be an expert in Torah. Sheyeh zokin, ve'esha b'yeshiva. So that I be nominated, the elder, the Rosh HaYeshiva. That's not a good reason to learn Torah. Ella, rather, the proper approach is l'moid ba'av, learn out of love. Realizing that the Torah HaKadosh is the most intense, powerful, internal association with Hashem. V'soif ha'kavod lavi. Ultimately, the true honor, eternal honor, spiritual honor will arrive to you, and even physical honor, even Gashmi's honor. But that shouldn't be your motivation. Shenemar, the pasuk says, firstly, kashrim al etzbo yisecha, time to your fingertips. It should be clear in your mind, fluent in your on your lips, like something you're holding in your fingers. It should be so clear. Kasvim al loch libecha, internalize the Torah into your heart. Va'im, and then it says, sure, you're bound to experience the beauty of Torah in the next world and this world as well. The ways of Torah are pleasant. Those who are involved in Torah will experience all goodness and bracha. But that shouldn't be our motivating factor. Dveikus b'Hashem, that's the goal. And everything is residual and secondary. Likewise, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Tzaddik Omer, Asei Dvarim L'Shem Polam. When you learn, when you daven, when you do mitzvahs, do it L'Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to connect to Hashem. V'daber b'hem l'shmam. Don't learn Torah to, gain knowledge, to spite people. L'kanter, to show off. Don't do that. Rather, for the experience itself. Enjoy your Daf Gemara. Enjoy connecting to Hashem. What more do you need? I was once in Camp Aguda, Rabbi Yisrael Belsky Shlita tells me, he says, all I need is a blat gemara and a bench to sleep on. That's it. Really, what more do we need? V'dabra b'hem l'shman. Al tase ma Torah l'zgadol b'hem. Don't use the Torah as a crown of glory to elevate yourself. Val tasem kerdom li'es oideboy. Don't use the Torah as a hoe, as a shovel, as a tool, as equipment to dig with, to earn parnasa. Learn the Torah to enjoy the Torah, to be close to Hashem. The Kal V'chomer, and this is learned through that Kal V'chomer, that one has to be careful to direct his actions to Hashem and not misuse the Torah for other things. Uma Bal Shetzer, right, that Raya from Bal Shetzer, Shlan Eshtamesh, Al B'Kli Chodesh, Shenasa Kli Chol, he misused the Kli Chodesh, which were already turned into Kli Chol, still could happen to him, Nekam and Ha'ilam, when a person misuses Torah, Allah has come and become certainly. It's very serious. But Amar Rava, listen to this. Shari le'inish, lo'idui nafshi. If a Talmud Chacham arrives in town and nobody knows who he is, he's allowed to be moidia nafshi. He's allowed to identify himself, publicize who he is. Ba'astra de'liyadli, in a place where they don't know who this fellow is. And the Rosh says, "Kadesh lo yizalzul b'chvay Torah savi anshu." This way, his words will be heard, will have influence, and they won't negate his words. They won't ignore him. They'll respect him accordingly. It's important for the tzibur to have that knowledge that this fellow is Adam Chashav. So, if he realizes that he's unknown, he should inform some people so that they regard him appropriately. The Chassid, as the Pasuk says, this was when Eliyahu HaNavi instructs Avadya to give a message to Achav, and he says to Eliyahu HaNavi, I can't do that. You're putting me in a strange position. Achav is going to threaten me. Look, I'm just like you. Ba'abdecha yorei Hashem and Urav. I'm a Yerushamayim. Please don't jeopardize my life. Don't put me in danger. Eliyahu didn't know who he was. He didn't appreciate him. So Avadya felt compelled to notify Eliyahu of his stature, of his position. Question is, if notifying your identity is allowed, so why did Rabbi Tarfon not do so? Elokashi the Rabbi Tarfon, why is Rabbi Tarfon so concerned that he used his identity to protect himself? Apparently that fellow didn't know who he was, so he could have told him. Nothing wrong with that. Answer is, once again, he had a good alternative. The Usher God Lahaya, since he was very wealthy, he should have just appeased him by paying him off and taking care of it like that, rather than using his identity and name and Torah to protect himself. Rava had a kasha, Rami, he asked a contradiction. Ksiv, one pasuk says, you're allowed to do this. Va'avdecha yoreis Hashem and Urav. So a person can promote himself, so to speak. Uksiv, then the pasuk says, no. Yehalal chazar v'leificha. Have others praise you rather than praising yourself. So are you allowed to or not? The answer is, depends where. Haba asra diyadila, in a place where they know you, don't praise yourself. Haba asra diyadila, a place where they don't know you, then there it's permissible, as we explained. Amar Rava. Surely l'tzorim rabbanon, it is permissible for a Talmud Chacham l'meimar to inform the others that he is a Talmud Chacham. L'meimar tzorim rabbanon, I am a Talmud Chacham. Why is he doing this? So he's in the Bezdin waiting for his turn to take care of his din Torah, and there's a long lineup. His time is precious, Bitul Torah. So he has that privilege. He can tell the rabbi, he said, look, I'm a Talmud Chacham, and surely Tigray Bereisha, address my fight, my din Torah, first. Because that's the right of a Talmud Chacham, to be addressed first, rather than to be made, to wait. Tchsiv, as the pasuk says, Ubnei David Kayanim Hayu. Now we know that David HaMelech's children were not actually Kayanim, they were not from Shevet Levi. Rather, as the Ran says on the bottom line, Shehayu Chachamim Vayadinim Ki Kayanim. Since they were Chachamim, they were treated in certain respects like Kayanim. Ma Kayin Noitel Bereish, just as a Kayin gets first pick, Av Talmud Chacham Noitel Bereish, the same applies to a Talmud Chacham. And by the way, the Ran draws a distinction between this halacha and the whole story with Rabbi Tarfon, who was distressed about the fact that he utilized the covet of Torah to protect himself. And here we see that you can use that. You can say, I'm a Talmud Chacham, to get these privileges. So the Ran says the big difference between something which is rightfully his, first in line, best, choice of whatever, we're going to see soon. He gets his discount from taxes, etc. That's something which the Torah was mezakeh to the Chacham. Just like the Torah gave the Kehanim and the Levim that Truma. It's rightfully his. So certainly it's fully in his, it's fully right for him to go and tell them, look, I'm deserving of this privilege. It's my right. It's my privilege. But the difference by Rav Tarfon was that owner, that property owner, suspected him of being the long-time ganav. So in his mind, he was justified in his claim. And Rabbi Tarfon didn't really address that claim. He just says, look, I'm Rabbi Tarfon, drop me, right? Well, the man understood from his words that he was Rabbi Tarfon, right? So the reason why he laid his claim to rest is not because Rabbi Tarfon addressed his claim, not because he satisfied his claim, not at all. So there was an example of using Torah just to fend off a claim which in the claimer's mind is legitimate. That's not appropriate. Because he's sort of using the Torah as a tool. Mishtamish b'kisr shatara, therefore he was distressed. But here we're speaking about something which is rightfully his. To get the first shot at the din Torah. To get, exemption from taxes. That's something which the Torah gave the Talmud Chacham. And if you don't know that he's a Talmud Chacham, how are you going to give it to him? So here he has a right, and he has perhaps an obligation to inform them. Can he use the Gemara? V'koyin menolan, In fact, how do we know that a Kohen has these rights? We compare the Talmud Chacham to a Kohen. He's a leader. He represents Klal Yisrael. But how do we know that it applies to a Kohen too? A Kohen due to the fact that he serves in the Beis HaMikdash. He's Hashem's representative. You have to sanctify him. You have to give him covet. What does V'kidashta mean? L'chol davar shebekdusha. Says the Rush on the bottom line. B'chol davar sheyiroye gadol mekudesh. You have to give him extra rights and privileges to highlight his specialty, to highlight his prominence and position, and the fact that he's Kaddish. For example, L'ftayach rishon. The Ran learns on the top line, L'ftayach rishon b'kuris ha-teira, shekere rishon. He gets the first aliyah. The Rush learns, L'ftayach rishon liyos reish ha-medabrim, b'chol kibbutz am l'daber v'lidrosh t'chila. He's the first speaker at a public gathering, at a public event. L'ftayach rishon. U'levarich rishon. He gets the first chance to say Birchas HaMazon, or the Mefarer says Birchas HaMaitzi. So when somebody's being Maitzi others, he's the one given that that privilege. V'litoil mona yofarishin. So if you're dividing something with the Kain, he gets first pick. Interesting that some of Farshim learn this halacha to give the Kain priority isn't necessarily related to mitzvahs, even something which is non-mitzvah. An ordinary meal, you give him first pick, first choice. That's a way to give him special prominence, kavod v'kiddushta. Amar Rava, shor le'tzur m'rabban, a young Talmud Chacham can go ahead and announce, l'meimar, he can tell people, lo yahivna akarga, I'm not obligated to pay taxes. He's exempt from taxes. Even Goyim recognized that. D'chsiv minda b'loy b'halach, this was when Kairish informed his representatives not to tax the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. All these different types of taxes, lo yishalit l'mirma alein. We're not going to exercise our control and impose these taxes on them. Bom Rabbi Yehuda, what are these terms? Minda zubmanas ha-melech, the king's portion of your income. B'loy, what is that? Zu kesef golgota, head tax. V'halach, what is that? Zu arnoina, some other sort of income tax. Animal income tax. V'amar Rabbi, surely l'tzum rabban, even a Talmud Chacham can go ahead and do the following. L'memer, he can say to the tax collectors, Avdo de Nurano, you know, I'm a clergy. I serve the priests in the church, the ones who get, you know, they make the fires with which they worship their Avodah Zarah. I'm involved in that. Not that I do the Avodah Zarah, but I'm an avid of those people, meaning I serve them. I'm part of the clergy, and therefore I'm exempt. I have a religious tax exemption. Lo yahivna karga, I'm not obligated to pay the taxes. So either we're speaking about a Talmud Chacham who's really potter, as we just said, or suppose it's an unjustified tax, which would allow this type of whittling out, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. In any case, the chiddush here is that you can actually, you know, sort of identify with avodah zarah related services. My time and why? Because everybody knows you're not really being sincere. Lavruchi arya minei ka'amar. He's just saying it to chase away a lion, to exempt himself from this unjustified tax. And even a Talmud Chacham could do so. There's no issue of Chilul Hashem. Now the Ran points out, according to one pshat, only this type of expression would be mutar. A person can't say Chas V'Shalom, you know, I'm a goy. You can all say that, right? Or I'm an Ovid Avodah Zarah. But here he's using ambiguous wording. Avda Denura can mean I'm an Eved of Hashem. The Ran says Libel Hashemayim Dechsev Hashem Alekecha Eish Oichlahu. Avda Denura, I serve fire. Hashem is Eish Oichlahu. So since his lashon can be interpreted both ways, it isn't necessarily a reference to Avodah Zarah. Therefore, it's mutter. Rav Ashi Havli Yahu Abba. Rav Ashi owned a certain forest filled with firewood. Zavnei l'beinura. He sold it to the Goyim who actually worshipped their idol with fire. Amalei Ravina Ravashi. Ravina asks him, how could you do that? Ha'ikalifnei iver l'isitin mikshal. You're placing a stumbling block in front of a blind person. A guy may not do avodah zarah, and you're giving him tools, you're giving him the means to serve his idol. How can you do that? Amalei says, here it's different. Roiv eitzim la'asaka nitnu. Typically, wood is intended for heating, for cooking. So I can assume that it's being used in that manner, maybe to heat up their place of worship, but not actually to worship with this fire, with this wood. I can assume so, and therefore I'm not obligated to abstain from doing business with them. Says the Mishnah, Ada Kotzer. A fellow says, no wine for me until harvesting season. What does that mean? The grain harvesting. What is that? Wheat, barley, what is that? Ad sheyaschal la'am liksor tzirchitim. Avalik tzir so'ir. Typically, kotzer denotes the more important, more chashev type of harvest, which is wheat. Until they start chopping the wheat down, the nether would be active, but not kotzer so'ir. Hakoil lefi makim nidre. But it's all location dependent. Meaning, suppose he lives in a place where they refer to Ketzir Sa'iran, barley harvest, as Kutzer. Maybe that's their main crop, whatever it is. Kutzer is Kutzer Sa'iran in this place, and therefore when he says Ala Kutzer, it refers to the Kutzer of Sa'iran. Furthermore, what else is location dependent? Imhoya Bahar, Bahar. If at the time that he said the nether, he's sitting up in the mountain, whose crops are generally a bit delayed. They ripen slower than the ones in the valley. So Ada Kotzer means until they harvest up in the mountains. If he's standing in a bikkah in a valley when he expresses that nether, he's referring to the Kotzer and the bikkah. So even if he changed locations later on, he still has to follow his previous location, the place where he made the nether. What if he says Ada Gesham? The nether extends until the rains. Or he says Achiyu Aksham, until the rains are here. In both cases, it's up until and not including the rain season. Acha Tered Raviyashnia, his nether, is active until the second component of the rain season. So we'll see later on, tomorrow, rain seasons are called Riviya because they sort of land and they Rivitz ala Oretz, they're positioned on the ground, or there's another Pshat, Riviya is like an Abel's growth. So there are three components to the rain season. One is Revi'ah Rishoina, one is Revi'ah Shniyah, that's sort of the main rain season, right in the middle of the season. Then there's Revi'ah Shlishah, the residual rains. When he says Adag Sham, he means the main rain, the Revi'ah Shniyah, the mid section of that rain season. And the Chiddush here is like this. When he says Adag Sham, I understand, it means until. What about Achayu? Typically Achayu means until I experience the rain season, like we had by Achayu Pesach and all that. Here it's different because ultimately the rains are unpredictable. It's something which is not a set event. It's not kavua zman, and therefore he wouldn't allow himself just to obligate himself to an open-ended commitment. So even if he used the words achayu gishamim, he meant up until and not including the rains arriving. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, you don't even have to wait for the actual rains to come. Achayu zman ashal revia, until the Zman, which is typically when the Revi'ah comes, that's when the nether expires. Ad sheyipasku gishamim. What if he says until the rains are up? Ad sheyitzei Nisan, kula until Nisan is up. Then you know you're out of the rains. Divrei Rav Meir, Rabbi Doimer, ad sheyavar Pesach, until Pesach is over. That's considered the conclusion of the rain season. Tanya, hanoyder ad ha-kayitz. A fellow makes a nether until the kayitz, which is the fig picking season, and he is in the Gadol. Right? He's sitting up in the mountains. Gadol is a mountainous area where the ripening takes a bit longer than down in the valley. The Yard Lamokim, after which he goes down to the valley where he sees the figs are done. So even if the kites has already arrived down in the valley, Osir Achiyagia Kites, but Gol, he has to wait until kites arrives up in Gol, which was the place of his nether. That's his point of reference. So what do we learn today? Technically speaking, once the fig picking season is up, Roiv HaMaktsoyas are stored away. You know that everything left out there is Hefker. you can take it, there's no chiyuv maser. We find that Rabbi Yisrael Rida was machmir. We find that Reisav Chanina's Shamas was machmir. And we find this fellow who was really, really overly agitated because he experienced some real victimization throughout the year. He was being robbed nonstop. And finally, when he caught Reb Tarfon, his victim, he was about to toss him into the river. And upon discovering who he was, he dropped him and ran for his life. Reb Tarfon was distressed that he could have tried another option before actually resorting to the Keser Torah to get this fellow off his back. However, the Gemara says, true, we're supposed to learn the Shem Shemayim with Avas Hashem, but sometimes we can actually, identify ourselves in a mokum where they don't know who we are in order to earn our rightful privileges, which is to be first online, etc. Just as a kohen has that din, v'kidashta, it's mitzvah asay, right, to give him extra honor, eftayach rishon, lebarach rishon, litol money of a rishon. We had this chiddush regarding referencing Avodah Zarah to exempt oneself from, unjustified tax claims. We had the chiddush of Rav Ash, he would sell his forest, relying on the concept of roiv etim lasakaninu, in which case there's no concern, or he doesn't have to be concerned, that will be used for Avodah Zarah. We learned that the terms, kutzer and all these things are basically location-based. Typically, kutzer is kutzer chitin, unless we know otherwise. And you follow the mokum where you are actually making the nether. So if you're up in the mountain, you have to wait until the kutzer arrives in the mountain. Regarding gishamim, Tanakhama says until the revia shni arrives, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, until the zman revia, you don't have to actually wait for the rains, who might be delayed in their arrival. In terms of Yipasku Gisham, at the end of the rains, we have Nisan according to Meir and according to Yehuda Achiyavara Pesach. May you all have much, much Hatzlacha, and may we all experience much Siyata Dishmaya.